Welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast with Punit Bhatia. This is the podcast for those who care about their privacy. Here, your host, Punit Bhatia, has conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas, and opinions relating to privacy, data protection, and related matters. Be aware that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not legal advice. Let us get started.
In the modern world, privacy is all about protecting data, and data travels. Data travels across vendors, data travels across geographies, and that's where an important area of privacy is managing third-party relationships or managing third-party contracts. That is, when you transfer your personal data from your company to another company, there is a contractual agreement. How do you make those contractual agreements? What are those challenges? What is the life cycle of a contract? And what goes behind each of those steps in the contract life cycle? Who better than Dominic Kint, who is one of my dear friends and also a sourcing expert and CEO of Company With. And they also have a product called Sourcing Cockpit. So let's go and talk to him and understand privacy, its relationship with sourcing, and how do you manage third-party relationships or contract lifecycle management. So here we are with Dominic. Welcome, Dominic.
Thank you for having me, Punit.
It's a pleasure. So help me, when you think of the GDPR, what's the one word that comes to your mind?
Complicated would be the one word that is pretty much leading all of the other words.
Absolutely. It is complicated, and it's our job as consultants to make it simplified.
I agree with that, Punit. I fully agree.
Absolutely. And when we talk about sourcing, because your core domain is sourcing, but these days, sourcing and privacy are interlinked, because in sourcing, you transfer data, you'll talk to third parties, and then personal data transfers, because there's no business deal, there's no third-party deal without any data transfers, without any personal data being exchanged. And then comes the GDPR. So when did you start to get this, hear this word called privacy or GDPR?
A while ago now, to be honest, because quite a bit of regulated companies work with us in pharmaceuticals and in finance institutions and the like, and they are all afraid of the exposure of any of their data being processed or badly processed by their outsourcing parties, of course. So it is something which is high on the agenda of many of our clients. Unfortunately, implementing it in practice is something very much different than writing it down in a contract.
Absolutely.
And so that's why complicated is the word to be used when we talk about GDPR.
Yeah, I mean, complicated is an understatement. I think when we talk about the data transfer situation, I call it, it's messed up.
That would be a very blunt and honest way to do it, Punit, because to be honest, whatever you write down in a contract, the next month it might already be different, let alone the next year. And so managing it is the real mess. It's not writing it down on the contract, but it's making sure that in practice, things are being lived up to and that you make continuous evolutions of that. And that is where the whole complexity with outsourcing and GDPR comes into the picture.
Indeed, it does. And your audience is primarily, or your stakeholders are primarily sourcing or procurement, those kind of stakeholders, vendor management stakeholders. And how do they see privacy or data transfer situations? Because we, of course, as privacy professionals see it differently. And me having been in sourcing, I do understand. And that's why I'm blunt and I say it's messed up. But how do they see your colleagues, your stakeholders saying, what's the privacy situation? How is the data transfer situation?
There's primarily three stakeholders that we connect with. The first one is, well, the traditional procurement stakeholder. They look at GDPR as something that must be mandatory taking into the procurement process. Part of the RFP, part of the selection process and the like. And that goes pretty okay. Then you have the legal stakeholder. And then the legal stakeholder is indeed the one that needs to make sure that things get written down correctly into the contract. And there you get more into lengthy discussions. And because sometimes the provider wants to push their GDPR or DPA elements into the contract. And of course, the client also wants to push their DPA elements into the contract. And that's where you have the first clash of the complication, Puneet. So whose DPA will win? Will it be the client's one or will it be the provider's one? And so this is the first one where it gets a bit complicated. And then the third stakeholder is the contract owner, who is not really lying awake of that unless he or she gets, well, penalized by it because there's a breach and there might be some penalty connected to that or some public scandal related to that. So the relation between those three stakeholders makes it quite difficult and as you said, a mess to get it really in practice operationally landed, because procurement wants to have the tick box that it was being part of the RFP and selection process. Legal wants to push as much as possible their DPA, and then the owner needs to manage all of that without having the proper guidance very often of how to do it and without the proper knowledge of what has been contractually written down into it. So yeah, it is not easy in these outsourcing contracts to have it properly implemented.
That's interesting. I would like to bifurcate or go a bit deep into each of the three stakeholders. But before I do that, does privacy or privacy professionals also play a role in most companies you're working with, or they're in the background or they're in the legal counsel area when you say?
They're more into the legal counsel area indeed. In our domain of the contracts and the business relationships, they're being involved from a legal perspective. Now, where they're being involved as well is during the execution of the contract. But that then again is the responsibility of the contract owner to involve the privacy specialist. And that indeed is complicated as well, because during the negotiations, it's clear. You get your DPA signed, you get your security and privacy officers involved in that. But how and when to do it when the execution? When do you have to involve the privacy officer? Because then it's no longer a legal issue, but it really is a subject matter issue. And that's where you said it's a mess, and I call it complicated. But in the end, it all boils down to the same, Puneet.
Yeah, we use different words for the same thing, but let's go step by step. So when your procurement stakeholders are involved, it's more about the due diligence, understanding the vendor is compliant and so on.
Yes.
And sometimes privacy colleagues, because most clients I work with also, we have a privacy questionnaire, a security questionnaire. We ask if they're compliant. And that seems to be more or less the straightforward process.
Agree.
Nobody says we are not compliant. Nobody says we don't have a DPO. Nobody says anything like that. So that's a straightforward tick in the box process, if I may exaggerate a bit.
Yeah.
And everyone is trying to find something. As a client, you want to ask questions, you want to go beneath the surface, check things. And when you're on the other side, you're always polishing and window dressing, if I may call it, to an extent. And then there are certifications which help saying, yes, the client is certified. Are there people coming up with certifications also in that phase from a sourcing perspective? Because a few years ago, I was talking to a chief procurement officer, whom, by the way, you also know. So we were thinking of how about enabling this vendor due diligence through a platform or through a solution that vendors can for one time say, I do this, because vendors are standard vendors. Clients can then come in and hook on to that platform and so on. And then, of course, the certifications are there. Are there standardization in that domain, in that direction happening, you see, you observe?
I have not seen that, Puneet. I think it's a very interesting domain. It could maybe be part of your ISO certification or an ESIA 3402, it could be part of that type of certification, but I have not seen it included yet, to be honest. It would make sense to be part of an ISO 3402 in the end. An ISO might be a bit too light for it, because you have a limited testing, of course, on those procedures. But we have not seen it being part of that. Now, what I would be in favor of as well is that maybe it might be part of the the data processing companies like the Moody's of this world or the Standards and Poor's of these worlds, that they take that kind of a rating into account as well. How much breaches have there been on a company level? Because very often that goes public. And that's public information that can be captured globally. And you might have some sort of an indicator from a S&P or a Moody's or a Fitch that says, well, look, we take privacy as part of the indicators in there. And that might lead to a more, well, public standard rather than a certification standard, if you know what I mean, Punit. But it has not been taken into the public standards of Moody's, Fitch, and Standards and Poor's as well, to be honest.
Yep, I think that's the right direction to go, because companies do ask, is this vendor good enough? What's their financial standing? What's their rating? And if you can incorporate the privacy element, that's a step forward rather than the client having to shop around on the certification or the vendor. Yeah.
And instead of indeed the provider needing to push their certifications, it would be part of just a public process of data gathering, rather than the provider being pushed into an annual type of, well, spot check type of thing, if you know what I mean, Punit.
Yeah. So essentially, it remains a Excel-based process in most cases. At least it does. With clients I'm working with. So especially same with you.
It does, unfortunately, Punit, it does.
Good. That's a good scope for us to have a product there.
I agree with you. And Punit does the market. If you can get into the market, happy to support you on that one.
Let's see. Let's take it offline. And then moving to the second block, the legal, where the DPA comes in, the data processing agreement comes in, or the contract is to be negotiated. And you highlighted it very well. Both have their versions. Both are negotiating the same thing, same topic, same objective, but with different clauses.
Yes. And that's where both companies hit each other for the first time on the legal side.
Yeah, and that's where most of my clients ask me, saying, can you review this contract? And it's the same remarks, because now I have a checklist. I just check against that. And I say these things. And I keep telling them. And it's so surprising that it still remains a question, saying, are we good enough?
I agree with that. And one of our clients as well has requested us to do a compliance check on their contract portfolio. And one of the main things we discovered indeed, and I don't think it's such an exception, but that out of the 30 plus contracts, they had 30 plus different DPAs.
Wow.
And that it's simply impossible to manage. And so we are now forcing a bit all the suppliers to go into a standard DPA with that client. And so, but that's not easy, because then you need to indeed involve procurement, because you break open the contracts again and you get into renegotiation. So the complexity of standardizing DPAs is not to be underestimated as well, Punit. So it's something that you need a process for that in a company, but many companies don't have that process fully established yet, unfortunately.
Indeed, I think 7 or 10 years ago, when I was in sourcing, or primarily in sourcing, we used to talk about contract rationalization, because contracts have so much of variety. And now the DPAs have so much of variety that you again need the contract rationalization from privacy clauses or obligations perspective.
Exactly. And that's where artificial intelligence can come in quite handy. So we have our own software platform as well with an AI component. And rather than reading through hundreds of contracts on, do we have the right DPA clauses? Do we have the right GDPR type of clauses? You can have an AI engine read through that and then focus on how to remediate. Rather than spending your time reading, you can spend your time on remediation. And so that acceleration can happen with AI being available in the market now, to be honest, Punit. Because it takes time to read through contracts and identify, are we compliant or not?
Indeed. And I think AI can help one level before as well, because that's the next stage, rationalizing contracts, understanding obligations. But before that, the challenge most of my clients have, and I'm sure yours also have, is when you go in and say, do you know which of these contracts include processing of personal data?
Exactly.
And the answer is, huh? What do you mean? Then you explain them. And then the answer is, we have to look through. While it can be an AI-based thing, you scan through contracts. You make a list. The list would be 90% okay. And then, of course, you can have your work cut out rather than looking at thousands and thousands of contracts, especially in large enterprises. Exactly.
And so these tools exist in the market already, Punit, and can be an accelerator for many clients.
Yeah, they can be. And then we move to the contract owner. When contract owner per se, they have to take care of the business, the end outcome, and they expect the procurement and the legal and the privacy in the background to take care of things. But what challenges do you see with contract owners' side of things?
Well, I'm going to be quite brutal on this one, Punit. I think they do not care about it once the contract is signed, because the only thing they care about is, have my service delivered. I mm-hmm. want my quality. I want my people. I want to have what I ordered in my contract. And then it's not that they don't care anymore, but it's second or even third priority. So it's all the way up to the moment that there's a breach that they might be interested again. But as long mm-hmm. as things are good, you don't mind, you don't care, you're not really following up on it. And so the owner is not interested unless, again, Punit, there is a process where you would be doing an annual or a 6 monthly type of scan, and that you as a privacy officer or as a GDPR expert, you would have the notification, well, this contract is 6 months down the road or a year down the road. We need to do a quick checklist and these kind of things. Are we still running okay with it? But as long as you don't have a process for that as well, Punit, I mean, the owner is interested in one thing, get my service or my product or things that I have ordered in my contract delivered.
Absolutely. I was in a panel and we were talking about this, and one of the persons said, and I fully support, because in some of the organizations it's implemented, saying you don't put the responsibility of privacy with DPO, that they are bringing in the expertise, but the privacy responsibility should be with business. And they are the senior responsible for privacy. So by law, we should make it senior responsible as the privacy knowledgeable person and taking care of that stuff. But then, of course, the complication is then you want the EBA guidelines, the outsourcing guidelines, everything should be with business. And it is the principle of accountability.
It is. But indeed, again, if you don't have a process to manage and monitor it, I mean, it will not happen. And what I see indeed, and also when we look into the market, not only with the clients, but the broader market, that quite a bit of companies are quite getting their act together all the way up to the signature of the contract. I mean, procurement is quite mature, legal is quite mature. There are DPAs and DPOs that get that thing quite steady until it's signed. But the post-signature management of contracts, that's not only where the complication is, but also where the risk resides within the companies. And the regulators are more and more focusing on that. What are you doing as a company post-signature? Because we know we have been focusing quite a lot on the pre-signature phase, but not enough on the post-signature phase. And so things will now get more and more focused by regulators, by auditors, by certification in that whole post-signature process.
Absolutely. I think there's, of course, doing the signature and getting it right is half the job, but then you need to do the monitoring of the vendor. You need to continually stay 3 years, 5 years, not wait for that, but every year or every few months, ask or check if situation is still in control, what controls are in place. Maybe like we have internal privacy control frameworks, or we need to have those sourcing control frameworks, including those privacy elements on third parties. But the more important aspect is the process.
Exactly. And the process is enabling you to follow that compliance while you're running into your contract. Because the only thing, Punit, and you know that, the only constant thing in life is change. And a contract is full of change. And also the owner changes. The person that has signed the contract and started will very probably not be the one that finishes with the contract. And so handing over all these things is the complex thing. And that's why you need a process. That's why you need to have clear set of roles and responsibilities and processes to manage and monitor these type of outsourcing relationships. And absolutely, you do that indeed with contract lifecycle management tools or third-party risk management tools. So there is tools out there as well, Punit, and processes out there that can help you do that.
Absolutely, they can. And I think Sourcing Cockpit is one of those. So help me understand, or help our, I mean, I do understand, you know, but help our listeners understand, what is this Sourcing Cockpit and what do you do? I mean, broadly speaking, where does this Sourcing Cockpit fit in? How does it help in sourcing, or maybe what elements of privacy are incorporated in that?
Well, to be honest, Puneet, and in very short, we with our Sourcing Cockpit support that contract lifecycle management process. So it gives you the assistance on when do I need to do an assessment? When do I need to do a privacy assessment? When do I need to do a security assessment? And it helps you collect evidences by collaborating not only internally, but also by collaborating with your external relations so that contribute in the process. And so we support that process with our Sourcing Cockpit software. It is as easy as that.
So help me understand, for making a distinction, because we have contract management solutions, we have supplier relationship management solutions, and of course, we have vendor monitoring solutions, which are close to, say, supplier relationship. So where does this Sourcing Cockpit fit in? All three, one of them, two of them?
We fit in the contract lifecycle management solutions, Puneet, together with the third-party risk management solutions. So this is the zone where we play. So once the contract is signed, we do have a contract builder module as well. And so we have our AI module to identify what is in the contract. But the purpose is to be able to manage the contract, to manage the metadata into the contract, the obligations and rights into the contract. And so we are in that zone of once the contract is signed, we can connect to procurement tools, but we work with the contract owner. As you said, we responsibilize the contract owner to manage the contracts. And we involve procurement, we involve legal, we involve compliance, but they are stakeholders in the process of managing the contract. And so this is where we play. And in the market, they call that contract lifecycle management or third-party risk management, alike type of things.
Makes sense. So Dominic, what you're saying is you help make the contracts happen in entire life cycle, right from start, initiation, till the contract is to be renewed or refreshed or expired.
That's what we do. We make your business relations run like Swiss clockwork.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's interesting. So, and what's the relationship between with and the Sourcing Cockpit?
Oh yeah, Sourcing Cockpit is the software that has been developed by WIT. And so WIT is more the expert, the consulting. We help not only with the implementation of the software, of course, but we are also experts in the domain. And Sourcing Cockpit is just the brand of our software, which will be rebranded, by the way, by the end of the year. But this I will not disclose yet, Puneet, but we will have
Sourcing Cockpit. Sourcing Cockpit for now.
Yeah, Sourcing Cockpit will remain until the year of the end of the year. Thereafter, we'll rebrand it.
Then we'll do another episode.
Then we might do another episode. Or we might invite you to one of our episodes, Puneet, because right, we do quite a bit of videos ourselves.
Sure. So, in essence, I mean, because we've gone through the life cycle, we've gone through the monitoring, the question is, if you were to pass one message to anyone listening, from sourcing and privacy perspective, what would that one message be?
I think it's clear, Puneet. It's making sure that you work not only on the pre-signature side, but you involve the same stakeholders on the post-signature side, meaning your compliance specialists. So people like you should not only be involved until the contract is signed, but you should be involved during the execution of the contract. And that's where the added value lies. It don't stop at the signature of the contract with compliance. I mean, that's where it only begins. And we are not compliance people. And so we help people, we help our clients with the setup of these processes, but we will never fill in the compliance process. And this is where indeed my recommendation is take it one step further and help the business owner to make sure they monitor and manage and proactively, be it with our software or not. I don't care about that, Puneet. But it might even be in Excel, but at least make sure that you manage and monitor it post-signature. Get your guys involved once the contract is signed as well, Puneet. That's my recommendation.
So Dominic, you're saying manage and monitor and involve the right stakeholders across the life cycle. Don't look at it signature, don't look at it signed, end to end, day to day, include everyone.
Yes. Now, today, it's still a little bit too siloed, if you ask me, Punit. So it stops at the DPA that has signed, that has been signed by the DPO, and then he or she gets involved when shit hits the fan. No, don't do that. Get them involved all the way through the end of the contract life cycle. And that requires a process and responsibilities. If you don't have that, it will not happen.
Yeah, I think unfortunately in most organizations, the culture is when you have a problem, you want to solve it. As you said, shit hits the fan. But if you put in the right process, involve the right people, do it the right way, life becomes a little bit simpler. But then we may not have so many problems, but that's how life will be.
Well, you shift your work, Punit, from problem solving to avoiding problems.
Exactly.
Which being is a lot more valuable, if you ask me.
Absolutely, we know that. So it is wonderful to have you. And based on this conversation, if someone wants to connect with Sourcing Cockpit or you, what's the best possible way?
I think we have quite an open website that they can request. We have some things to download, like on the EBA guidelines and the journey to successful contract management. Just surf to our website, which is with-sources.com. And then you can find your Sourcing Cockpit and you can download quite a bit of interesting material. So the website is the best way to get in touch with us.
Absolutely. And I think the website has a lot of nice videos about contract relationship management. So it's worth a visit.
Exactly. And we have also a YouTube channel. So, I mean, there's plenty of information you can find out through our website.
Absolutely. So it was a pleasure to have you, Dominic. Thank you so much for your time. Very insightful.
Thank you so much.
Fit for Privacy helps you to create a culture of privacy and manage risks by creating, defining, and implementing a privacy strategy that includes delivering scenario-based training for your staff. We also help those who are looking to get certified in CIPPE, CIPM, and CIPT through on-demand courses that help you prepare and practice for certification exam. Want to know more? Visit www.fitforprivacy.com. That's www.fit4privacy.com. Thanks for listening. If you liked the show, feel free to share it with a friend and write a review. If you have already done so, thank you so much. And if you did not like the show, don't bother and forget about it. Take care and stay safe. Until next time, goodbye. If you have questions or suggestions, feel free to drop an email at hello@fit4privacy.com. That's hello@fit4privacy.com.